Resurrection. You know, what a mighty event. I think after Passover, last Sunday we looked at the Passover and the power of Passover blessings upon the saints. This would all be in vain. Why is that? Because just having Jesus died for our sins, man, that's amazing, definitely. But if it ended with that, we would still be in trouble. Yes, our sins are forgiven, but we are still stuck in this prison planet called Earth. You would be still, yes, my sins are forgiven, I have the salvation experience, but if it weren't for the resurrection, death would be the last word for all of us. And with that, we are done. But thank God for the resurrection. Now we are risen to a new hope. That death is not the last word. We are not shut up under the face of the earth. We have a new hope that we have eternal life now promised through Christ Jesus upon our lives. Thank you, Jesus. So I would say the cross and the resurrection is the foundation for all the goodness that we are experiencing in our lives. Hallelujah. So the death and the resurrection of Christ is the foundation for all the goodness that we as believers, we as the world, I would even bring the world into this, are experiencing today. If it weren't for this cross and the resurrection, healing wouldn't be available. If it weren't for the cross and the resurrection, the salvation experience is not available. Deliverance is not available. Peace of mind is not available. It's only, thank God, through this reason of the cross and the resurrection, why God is so good to us. Hallelujah. So this is the foundation. The cross and the resurrection is the foundation for all the goodness that's being released into our lives. See, everybody under the Abrahamic covenant, the old covenant, couldn't experience this level of blessings and outpouring that we are experiencing. Because Christ now, a better mediator, a better high priest, has secured us greater blessings through Christ, through his sacrifice. So now we are operating under a better covenant that is established under better promises. That's why Apostle Paul said, all the promises of God are yea and amen through Christ Jesus now. This event released a great mighty outpouring of God's Spirit and his blessings upon our lives. So we have to be thankful for that. Amen? Someone shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if you look at, turn with me to Acts 4, verse 33, it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. The new covenant evangelization, the new covenant message is all about the resurrection of Christ and the power of God now released through that event. And so apostles continued to go cities to cities, town by town, and they continued to testify to this event that Christ is risen. And guess what? When you proclaim the right message, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. You know, we are all here not because we decided to just join a religion. Is anybody here because of that? I doubt it. Not at City Gate Church. But many, if you look at the human race in general, many people have joined a religion because it was convenient, or someone, you know, like a Mormon. Ask a Mormon, why did you become a Mormon? You know, at some point, somebody knocked my door. I felt it appealing, and I decided to join the Church of Latter-day Saints or Mormonism. But we are not in this because of a hearsay or because of some convenience. We have experienced the power of the risen Lord. Amen, somebody. If you have any doubt, that means you haven't come to the real faith. We are here because we know Jesus Christ is alive, and this is the way, the truth, and the life. We are not here because of some fiction or because it looks good. We, each one of us, has tasted the bread of life. We've gone through stuff and we've come out only because of the power of God. Amen. That's the only reason, and that's exactly how apostles did it too. And we continue to testify to this day, and we stand for our faith that Jesus Christ is alive. As apostles said, we are not proclaiming to you something that we had a hearsay about. We have tasted and touched this man called Jesus Christ. And that's an anchor of our faith, because we've been through a lot and we know this thing is the real deal. We know he is alive. We don't need any science to explain it. We don't need anybody to prove this through mathematical algorithm. I don't need your educational intellectual stuff to prove that Christ is the Lord. I've gone through enough, my friends, and he's brought me out of every miry pit. And I know he is the Lord. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And I don't know if you remember the crucifixion time. Even the centurions and the guards who were guarding Jesus, when he gave up the final breath, the Bible says the earth shook, veil was torn, and guess what happened? They were all terrified and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Hallelujah. Truly, this is the Son of God. Amen, somebody. How many of you can lift your hands and say, "Truly, this is the Son of God"? Jesus. So I want to give you some historical context of what this resurrection is from. It just didn't pop up from nowhere. This was a fulfillment of the shadow that was in the Old Testament. And look at the Old Covenant passage, which was a shadow. It says, on the day after the Sabbath, what is the day after the Sabbath? Sunday. The priest shall wave the sheaf of your first fruits so that you may be accepted. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. So even before Christ became the first fruits, this was a thing that the people of Israel needed to do, to bring the first fruit to the priest. And the priest would wave it. The priest would wave it to the east, to the west, to the north, the south, and proclaim that this is only by the provision of God. They acknowledge and honor God in that. And not only that, verse 13 says, its grain offering is to be 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil, meaning bread. And then its drink offering will be 1 quart of wine. So Holy Communion that Jesus, or the Passover supper that the Lord celebrated, came from this. Christ became the burnt offering. Not only that, look at what is the next verse. There is grain offering is to be fine flour mixed with oil, which is the bread, and its drink will be 1 quart of wine, representing his broken body and his shed blood. So this was the Old Testament feast of first fruits. This is how they celebrated it. So this was fulfilled when Christ died and resurrected. How? When Christ gave up his final breath and he was presented by the God Almighty, Father, God the Father, on the third day when he rose again. He was presented to the world as the first fruit, the first from among the dead. He was waved to the world. And then he, not only that, he soon after started to present the next round of first fruits, meaning after the resurrection of Christ. Do you know this passage? Let's go there. Look at Matthew. 1 second. Here it is. Matthew 27, 51, 53. So what happened as soon as Jesus resurrected? It says, at that moment, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That is right at the end of the crucifixion. The earth shook, rocks were split, the tombs broke open. And look at this, what happened. The bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. This is right after. Now, even though Matthew is writing it all consolidated, there is some gap here. Crucifixion happened, then resurrection happened. Right after the resurrection, what happened? The tombs broke open And so we were, I think I was thinking, you know what, the breaking of the tombs and the dead rising would happen at the second coming. But the first installment already happened. We also, who would be falling asleep, would also rise at the second coming. But Christ immediately presented also to the Father some of the first fruits, right at that time. Look at that verse. Tombs broke open, bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised after Jesus' resurrection. What am I saying? So the feast of the first fruits, the Levitical feast, was fulfilled. And it will come to a complete fulfillment at the second coming of Christ, when everyone who has been fallen asleep in Christ also would rise up. But this event also happened, right, at some saints were already, I'm thinking it's more like Abraham, Moses, and all the old covenant saints. Could very well be. But that's not the matter. But so the Levitical feast of first fruits was fulfilled through the feast of resurrection, or the resurrection day. Some of the other significant events that occurred, I want you to take a look at this. This happened, this event, the resurrection of Christ happened on the 17th day of Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the Jewish calendar. The other big events that happened on Nisan 17 is this. Noah's flood ended and rebirth of the world. Same day, 17th day of the first month, rebirth of the new world. Israel crossed the Red Sea and landed in the promised land. When? 17th day of Nisan. Wave sheaf offering, we looked at that earlier. Haman was hanged. You know Haman, Esther's nemesis? He was hung on the gallows. And Mordecai was promoted the same day. What does it represent? It's the end of all your trouble and resurrection into a new chapter in life. A new birth. So don't just look at resurrection as a historic event where Christ was raised up and now I'm happy. No. He also wants the resurrection anointing to hit every one of us. Whatever you're going through, whatever dead and stinking stuff in your stuff need to be coming out. You need to come out of the tomb and the cage that had kept you back. This anointing, as I told last week about Passover, is up for grabs. If we look at everything from a historical perspective, oh, Bible is a good book, good literature, and you just feel goosebumps every time you read it. But you're still broke, miserable, and pitiable. You're not a living witness to the gospel of Christ. This bread has to become living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through whatever is hindering and blocking your progress. This is a living religion. This is a living faith. I don't like to use the word religion. Hate that thing. It's a living way of life. It has continual dynamics involved. There is no stagnation involved in the Spirit of God. It's a flowing river. And if you feel stuck, you need to get back into that train that is flowing. Nothing stagnant, nothing stinking, nothing miserable about the living faith of Christ Jesus. And if you're experiencing that, you need to hang out with the people who are alive and well. And they'll quicken you just by association. So all these big events happened on the day of Nisan 17, representing the rebirth, the resurrection into a newness. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 23 says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. We all know that. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. See, the religious church has confine that verse to saying, oh yeah, we'll all be made alive. You know when? After we are dead and we'll come out from the tomb. No, there is a present, active element to this part. Don't wait till you're dead and out from the tomb to be alive. It's talking about now. In Adam, all died. You didn't have to wait till your physical death to die under Adam. The minute you are born, you are called spiritually dead. Apostle Paul said that you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sins. And now Christ and his living dynamic brings you alive. Now, not after you die. That will happen too. Even now, the living power, the quickening power of God. So, and then says, but there is an order to his resurrection. We saw that Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to him. So there's a present element to everything about salvation. There's a continuing element about it, and also a future element. The traditional church has kept everything to the future side. There's nothing now. But see, it's not good enough for me. If you just tell me all this is about you going to heaven when you die, that's not enough, because I still have to battle the devil here. How am I going to deal with that? If I were to be taken up now, it's a different story. But I had to spend up in the next how many ever years battling the challenges and the Satan here on earth. I need more than the gospel is about just going to heaven. Don't buy into that traditional bondage mindset. Hallelujah. So what is done is a spiritual transaction happened. As I mentioned, the order of resurrection is what? First Christ, then all who belong to him later on. As I mentioned, there's a present tense element to this. There's a current element to this, which is what? Look at James chapter 1, verse 18 says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He's not talking about after death here. He's talking about today. Every one of us have become born again. How? By the word that he's released. So that we should be kind of the first fruits on earth right now. Hallelujah. So we are the first fruits. Come on, tell everybody. We are the first fruits. And God has a special mission with his first fruits. And that's my main theme of the message. The main or five blessings of the resurrection. What is God's purpose of we being the first fruits? Now, let me tell you this. Apostle Paul called this whole resurrection thing a mystery. And he said that by revelation God made known to me the mystery by which, you know, when you read, meaning he wrote the gospel or the epistle to the church, and he said, what I'm telling you guys was not something man-made, was not something when I was smoking something. This was, this was what? Through revelation. This was not Joseph Smith, by the way, hallucinating and saying, I have another book coming up. Whatever that book is called. What is it called? The final book, you know, some devilish stuff. So what I'm trying to say is, this is not some lunatic writing stuff. He said, by revelation, God made known to me the mystery. Let me tell you, revelation is the key, to unlock the power of God. Show me some saints who operate in revelation, and you will see some people who kicks the devil. A church that operates in revelation would be a church that operates in great power. Where there is revelation, there is great advancement. But again, this is not some man-made revelation. This is revelation that God drops into your spirit that changes you completely. The power of revelation. Because without revelation, church is powerless. You can know all the Bible you want. You can tell me all the Bible verses. But if you're not operating in revelation, there is no power. That's how simple it is. That's what Hosea said. My people perish for lack of revelation. If there's no revelation, church is no good. Hallelujah. So Paul said, it was not by education, it was not by reading books, but it was by what? Revelation. That God made known unto me the mystery. Even Jesus, while standing in the sandy shores of Caesarea, the beaches of Caesarea, he asked the disciples a question. He asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter immediately said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you," nor the word reveal, "but my Father who is in heaven." Revelation comes directly from God. He drops things into your spirit. That's very unique. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," on what rock? "On the rock of Revelation, I will build my church, and gates of hell will not prevail against it." So it's on the rock of Revelation. It's on the confidence of Revelation. Because when certain revelations come to you, you'll start to operate in great confidence now. And it's upon that confidence, it's upon that conviction that comes out of Revelation, you're going to storm the gates of hell. Because now you'll know who you are. Now you will know what God has made you to become. The New Testament mystery can only be received through Revelation. Not, you know, you can go into thousands of conferences and read thousands of material. You might not get this. This happens only through Holy Spirit revelation. When I say revelation, there's one more element to this. You have to be in environments that welcomes Holy Spirit. Because it's in that environment the Holy Spirit pours out nuggets. That's why when you go to certain conferences, certain meetings, where there is the heavy anointing of God, you go to another level. That's because revelation is poured out in that atmosphere. Not all conferences, not all churches carry that kind of atmosphere. In this region, I think we are among maybe the three churches in this region who carries the glory of God. I'm not boasting. We might not be very much too many in number, but City Gate Church is the house of God in this region, whether you like it or not. The flow of God is here. God has decided, it's not because of Apostle Clay or me or Dan or anybody. God has decided, "I will pour my glory in this house." He's established this house, kept it apart, set it apart for that purpose. And when you are in this environment, revelation will start to pour out, will shift you, your thinking, take you to higher levels. That's just a feature of it. It's God's choice. It's not because anyone's good or bad. When He decides to show mercy to someone, He shows it. No questioning why. He does it. So Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, education and books did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven." And you're going to move in revelation and in great power, and I'll build my church on that. The true church operates in revelation. Get that very much. You need that very much. I'm telling you, my friends, I'm seeing a lot of saints, good saints, but no revelation. You know, good people, they behave well, they conduct well, but they are zero effective for the kingdom of God because there's no revelation. God wants a church who will storm the gates of hell, who will plunder and restore what the enemy has stolen. It's not enough for us to come on Sunday sitting here and feeling good. We got to get back what He has stolen, what is rightfully ours. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation again. 1 John 5:20. "We know that the Son of God has come and has given us revelation to know Him who is true." Why are we all saying Jesus Christ is the Lord? Because He has given us, a Father has given us a revelation that this is the real deal. Otherwise, you would have gone back to Jehovah's Witness or Mormonism when they knocked the door. The reason you are still here is because the Father has poured out a revelation upon you that He is true. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why I know that I know in depth of my heart that this is the real deal. Because even when the storms of life come, even when everything seems fuzzy, I still know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Glory. Jesus. And it says, we are in him who is true. He is the true God and eternal life. See, there's a declaration that Israelites do. It's called the Shema. You know Shema, anybody? It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Any child, anybody born in Israel is taught the Shema. I'm going to take it even further. This is what it says. Even from a very young age, when these Israelites are surrounded by a pantheon of religions, they really nail it to their children. Here's their deal. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only one true God. When you say the Lord our God is one, it's really saying the Lord our God is only one true God. And they just nail this to the children's brain. There might be Arabs, there might be Buddhists, there might be Hindus, there might be all sorts of stuff going around you, but the Lord our God is the only one true God. That's the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Better nail this to your children's brains too. Well, from a very young age, when they are surrounded by all sorts of junk from the media, from the school, tell them that he is the true God and eternal life. Let them have that firm foundation. No matter which college you go to, no matter what circles you go to, keep that foundation in mind. The Lord our God is the one true God. And this is by what? Revelation. Revelation. Thank you, Lord. And 1 Corinthians 2, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God, which God predestined before the ages to our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this, for if they had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God had to keep this a secret, the whole transaction. You know, recently a friend of mine, a woman of God actually, and told me, keep your prophecies secret. Don't just share it with everybody. Don't just untie your hair in front of everybody, meaning don't be offering sacrifice of fools. Have you heard Solomon say that? Sacrifice of fools means don't be running your mouth and telling everybody everything about you. You got to be very wise, especially in the house of the Lord. And because look at how God operates. Look at how Mary, the mother of Jesus, operated. They kept what God revealed a secret. Because there's a lot of enemies. They'd be smiling at you, but they're ready to stab you at the back the next moment. So he says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery which was hidden once or once upon a time, but now it's revealed. Let me park on this. If Satan knew this whole deal, that new birth is going to come out of this, healing is going to come out of this, deliverance is going to come out of this, I'm telling you, my friends, he wouldn't have allowed Christ to go to the cross. The devil has some power on the planet called Earth, whether you like it or not. God can break it in an instant, but he chooses not to. He still will prevail with the righteous means. We can take shortcuts, but God doesn't want a shortcut. So, Satan would have stopped Christ if he knew what the cross and resurrection would release. Amen, somebody. And look at the previous verse. It says, the wisdom which was hidden once from man, now revealed, which God predestined for our glory. The mighty thing that has happened through the cross and resurrection is now he has released upon his saints the glorious new man. Now we are now truly, whether you know it or not, we've become a new creature. We are now carriers of God's glory. You know, once I think Don Lynch, I think once he said, if Satan cannot stop you from the cross, he will do his best to keep the power of the cross from flowing into your life. So this is what's happening. We were predestined to walk as glorious beings on earth. gods on earth, sons and daughters full of power of God. This was the predestined plan of God, restoring mankind back to the fullness of divinity. Not sin conscious, but righteous conscious, and operating in the power of God. And this was a big mystery because the devil thought he had it. When he messed us up at the Garden of Eden, he thought this was it. How can you rescue this pitiable people from this? You can do temporary fixes here and there, but Satan thought there's no permanent solution. But until this mysterious transaction happened, when it was the penalty of sin was paid at the cross, and now through the resurrection, God brought us into a newness of life. So it is this whole deal was predestined so that we can walk in glory. Get that for a second. Let it sink. Selah. Read that again. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, wisdom once hidden from man, but now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Meaning, restoring us back into the original Eden experience. Original Eden experience. Now that's the journey now. When all the shackles from your mind, one by one, have to be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And you coming into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is, as I mentioned last time, it's a battlefield of the mind. The more you expose to Holy Spirit environments and the anointed Word of God, the hammer of the Word of God will break whatever is blocking your mind from entering into this fullness. This is why I don't listen to any preacher. I don't read all books that is out in the Christian market. I don't want to waste my time. With all due respect and humility, I'll tell you, we got to be more smart than this. We just will welcome any Tom, Dick, and Harry. We will listen for 2 hours for any useless preaching. We just can't do that. You have to be selective. You got to take the fastest route to your promises. You don't want to sit wasting your time and saying amen, hallelujah to some boring preaching that will not illuminate or enlighten you. You have to be growing in revelation in a rapid pace. You don't have so much time, whether you like it or not. Especially the charismatic church. They call it the charismania now. They run around, but no revelation. Even the Baptists have sometimes more revelation than some of the charismatics, to be honest with you. They pack their churches, 10,000 to 20, because they provide amazing insights. Now, if they have the Holy Ghost power, it can explode there. They're already operating in the little that they have with faithfulness. We got to be more smart, my friends, my fellow charismatics. We just can't waste time. That's all I'm saying. We got to be very selective. So, I want to talk to you about the 5 blessings of resurrection. So we know the number one is God wants to resurrect you into your divine identity. So this resurrection season, don't go empty-handed out, but the resurrection power of God is available to resurrect you back into the divine identity. That's a predestined plan of God to restore you into the original glory of God. Jesus, so that you will operate as kings and priests here on earth, not as some inferior citizen, still beating yourself up for some sin that you committed. He wants to bring you to the rest in the finished work of Christ and now start to operate you in the king and priest mindset. Hallelujah. Jesus. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, Yet for your sakes, he became poor. And I know a lot of money preachers use this to, get money. It's not about money. They say, now, so send me $40 right now. They say that stuff. Or 41 or whatever they say. This is about a spiritual transaction. He said, Jesus Christ, the man or the God who carried the splendor, the majesty of being the God, he condescended to where? To this useless, worthless planet called Earth. He left all the heavenly glories, the King of Kings. That's why it says, though he was rich. Rich talks about the richness of the glory. He left that to ride on a donkey here. Why? so that he can become your sacrifice and make you enter into the glory of God. That's what he wants to make you rich means. He wants to restore you into the divine glory and make you operate as a king and priest. So through his poverty, meaning his sufferings on earth, you and I can become rich. Rich means walking, talking gods here on earth, full of his glory. So this resurrection season, don't let this pass by you without getting resurrected into your divine identity. Very important. If you know the story of Lazarus, how many of you know the story of Lazarus? The man was stinking inside the tomb. And he was wrapped all around. There's a spiritual meaning behind it. It talks about the human race stinking in the tomb of sin consciousness. They are bound by these things of condemnation, guilt, and shut behind that mentality, a prison mentality. And it's stinking. But God did not originally create man for that, to be hiding himself, to be burdened under the sin and shame and wallowing in self-pity. That's not what he meant. So Lazarus, there had to be a supernatural transaction that happened that'll bring Lazarus out. And that's when Christ calls him out, says, "Lazarus, come out," he said. So this is actually a symbolic picture of the transition of the human race from sin consciousness to righteous consciousness. Because Christ has paid for our sins. It is done. So if you look, remember the Lazarus story, Jesus tells him, "So Lazarus, come out." But Lazarus comes out, like the Christian who becomes born again. He comes out, he gets baptized, he's a new believer now. But he still has what on him? The grave clothes are still on him. The sin consciousness is still on many Christians. It's still bound their eyes, their body, the whole deal. They are not able to be effective. They've come out. But then what is the next step Christ tells the disciples? Somebody loosen. This is where we start to enter into the divine identity. Christ at one point of your journey will make that declaration. Loose Dan. Loose David. Loose whoever. Loose Ed. And now all these filters that you've inherited through your background, your upbringing, whatever you've gone through will start to be untied. This is a divine work, my friends. Only thing you can do is go into Holy Ghost filled environments. Don't waste your time in anything else, in dead churches and places. The more you expose yourself to the fire of God, these bindings will start to loose. And Jesus said, now he's free. And if you look at the following chapters of the gospel, it says Lazarus, very soon after this incident, was sitting with the elders of the gate. This is what God does. Once he unlooses you from all your sin consciousness, all the junk that you've inherited, he'll now get you ready for prime time. Because now you're ready to operate as a king and a priest. You're ready to sit with the elders of the gate because you now walk as a true son or a daughter of God. Nothing hindering your mind or your heart. But this is a divine process. I want to whet your appetite there because you need to pursue this. Resurrection is truly about resurrecting into your divine identity. We looked at the previous verse. God wants to restore you into what he's predestined for you. What is the predestination for? The glory. He wants you to receive that glory that is originally yours. Look at this verse here. 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? So that we can just say, oh, thank Lord, Jesus died for me, he rose for me, but I'm still going through my trials. No. So that you might live through him. Meaning you will operate as a king and a priest through him. Resurrection into your divine identity. Main purpose, so that you might live through him. You might operate through him. Number two, Christ resurrected, or he was raised, so that he can resurrect you to receive the promises. Look at Galatians 3, 13, 14. Christ became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Resurrection of the Lord, what did it do? It released the harvest of Pentecost. You have access to the Holy Spirit anytime now. And through the Holy Spirit, all the promises of God can be manifested into your life. All the promises of God. I declared that earlier. All promises are yes and amen. Through the sacrifice of Christ Jesus. Not through your performance, but by your position in Christ. So this resurrection season, what the enemy had buried and shut under a tomb need to come out. You need to be tapping into the resurrection anointing to receive the promises of God. Because it's all about revelation. You can get what is belonging to you through revelation. If you don't have revelation, the devil can use it against you. But a proper understanding would unlock what rightfully belongs to you. Now you know how to go get it back. Next. Look at this. Now Jesus has received a far superior ministry, Hebrews chapter 8 says, just as the covenant he mediates is superior and founded on better promises. This new covenant is all about releasing the fullness of the glory and promises of God upon our life. No holds barred. No hindrance. Open heaven. Veils were torn. Open heaven. All it requires is a clean, clear heart, which is not blocked by condemnation and guilt and shame. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, Jesus Christ came so that he can resurrect you to an abundant life. He said this in John 10, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Say abundant life. The Greek word for it is Zoe. Zoe. Zoe means the highest quality of existence. Not just some existence, just getting by. But the highest quality of existence that God has come to release. So we cannot compromise for less, because that's his goal. Through the resurrection power, now it's freely given. Freely you have received, now you can also freely impart this to others. So abundant life is a big deal. Don't settle for less. We have to continually press on toward that point, that God has more. All the promises of God are yes and amen. The blessings of God through Abraham is mine today. The devil will try to distract you, trying to say, no, this is not yours, it's not going to happen. But it all depends on your persistence. You got persistent enemies, and you got to be more persistent than that. I don't know if you know Genesis. The Bible says, whenever Isaac dug a well, the Philistines came, immediately put mud on it. So anytime water or spring or blessings would come forth, they would just try to close it out. But what did Isaac do? Did he go home saying, oh no, this is not going to work? What did he do, anybody? He kept digging. And finally he reached a place called Rehoboth. Rehoboth means a large place. And the enemy said, I'm leaving him alone. Can't touch him now. This is called persistence. Persistent enemies require persistence from your part. I don't know how many of you play video games here. Anybody? Lift your hands. Natalie. Natalie is the only one. Not even Matt. Good, Natalie. I like that. Okay, if you have ever played video games, or at least have some awareness of video games, what happens if you play Xbox or PlayStation, or what happens? Do you just get stuck in one level? No. Any game that you play on TV or any media that you use, you are continually going higher and higher levels. So you finish level one, then you got to tackle level two, correct? Level two, then level three. I'll tell you about the Christian church. Stuck in level one. They don't want to go any more further. It's too much. Level one, I had enough. I played with the beginner level, and I'm feeling good. I don't want to advance to intermediate or expert. I don't want to even see level two. This is what happened. No, you can't. If you want to see your Rehoboth, you got to be persistent. You got to keep digging. Enemy will try to close many areas of your life, but you are going to keep opening it up. It's called a warfare mentality. Jesus said it this way: from the day of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent entereth it by force. If you think this is easy, you can sit at home. There's a lot of force, there's a lot of drive and determination to get to the place where you need to get. I'm very aggressive in terms of good aggressive by nature. I want to see effectiveness. I want to see movement. I want to see moving the needle continually, because there's not enough time. Apostle Paul said, redeem your time. We don't have 100 years to waste here. We got to get to the place where we need to get quickly and further the kingdom purposes. Hallelujah. Resurrect you to your abundant life. Number four, God wants to resurrect you to the place of total authority over darkness. Thank God for that, huh? God, I had a prophecy, said you'll have total authority over the kingdom of darkness. Complete authority. And that's not just me. I think it's God's desire for every saint to have total authority. Look at what's written in Colossians 2 verse 14. Having canceled the debt ascribed to us, which is all the sins that stood against us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And what did he do? Having disarmed the rulers, that is the satanic realm, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You're battling a defeated foe. I want to bring this up because the devil tried to stop this many times, this message. So before I forget it, let me tell this. I wanted to share this with the City Gate. The devil is an illegal alien. Because I've heard the saying, many people say, you gave legal rights to Satan. Nobody gives any legal rights to Satan. Devil, at any point, Satan is an illegal infiltrator. Now, if God assigned him to go and do something, it's legal. But he is almost all the time an illegal infiltrator. Just because you sin doesn't give him any legal authority to come into your life. Only legal thing that you have facing is the wrath of God. You understand? Devil has no right over you, whether you sinned or not. He's totally illegal. Why do I say that? Because you can kick him out anytime. Let me tell you, give you an example. There's a bank across the street. Just because the bank manager forgot to close the door in the evening, does it make anybody to go legally enter in and steal? Just because he forgot to close the door, you know, and left the door open of the bank, does that give any legal right to anybody, say, oh, at midnight, oh, the doors are open, so I'm going to legally go and steal the bank? No. He doesn't give any of us legal right just because the doors are open there. Bank manager might have forgot to shut the door. Yeah, that's fine. But nobody has any legal right to go steal the bank. Similarly, we have left many doors open legally through sin, I agree. But doesn't mean devil can just come in and do whatever he wants. So look at this verse. Luke 10:17. Even before the new covenant was inaugurated, disciples were kicking the devil on the behind. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You can kick the devil out. He's an infiltrator anyway. Now you have more power in the Lord. You can really whip him now. It's up to you. You have total authority of the kingdom of darkness. But what sin and darkness, if you see, the problem with this is this. If you leave an open door, meaning through sin, what it does is it affects your conscience though. You can kick the devil anytime out, but what did I say? It's an amount of revelation that you're flowing in will decide your authority. So anytime you sin, your conscience gets weakened. This is the problem of sin. That's why God tells us to stay away from sin, because we will start to lose our confidence in God not our position in God, our confidence in God every time we commit a sin. So stay away from sin. Penalty of sin is done. Don't worry about beating yourself up. Stay away from sin because he's given us a superior covenant now. He's died for the junk that we are committing. We don't need that anymore. Shift your mind. Satan is an illegal alien. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, at least in for this lesson, he wants to resurrect us to life and immortality. You know, I can't close this message without talking about eternal life. That's definitely the main superior element of it, because there is definitely death involved here on this planet. But we are not hopeless. Amen. It says, 2 Timothy 1:10, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hallelujah. The chief end of all this, eternal life. This is definitely, how much stuff we have here, this planet is a prison planet. There's a lot of struggle here. But the good thing is, he has overcome it all. And he's going to help us overcome it all. So this becomes suddenly an adventurous journey here. It's like, you know, the movies that we love to watch. You know, the hero going through all the challenges, and finally, it's kind of like that, the Christian life. In heaven, there won't be any struggle. But here, there are definitely pitfalls and struggles and thorns and thistles. But guess what? He has overcome it, and we are going to overcome through the anointing that's upon us. We're going to triumph over it all. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. Someone say all. That's the beauty of the Christian walk now. We are not going to lose. We are on the winning side. As long as you have a right attitude, right mindset, right understanding and revelation of who you are, you're going to conquer. You're going to possess. Matt, Natalie, let's close this. Can you sing that song, He's Alive? Because see, I feel there is a resurrection power that's prevalent, because the Lord spoke to me this morning that it's going to be poured out upon us. You're going to see the manifestation in your daily life. Let's stand up. Come on. Let's rise up on our feet for a second as they get